This is Oklahoma Perspective. With the media overload about COVID-19, it can be difficult to find the basic facts about the virus and common sense ways to protect yourself. KRMG's Dan Potter and Rick Corey spoke with Dr. Bruce Dart and Kelly Van Buskirk about the coronavirus and how dangerous it might or might not be, and about common sense ways to protect yourself.
Have you talked to your family about what to do in the event of a major viral outbreak? It's a conversation some of us have had a few times in recent years. Some have seen SARS and MERS and the swine flu and H1N1 come and go, and they don't feel any anxiety about this latest potential pandemic. Either way, people are talking about the new strain of coronavirus and the disease it causes, COVID-19. KRMG's Russell Mills.
Governor Kevin Stitt made a point yesterday to address the issue. He first stressed that we have no confirmed cases in Oklahoma, but then he went on to assure everyone the state has prepared for an outbreak.
The degree of risk can change quickly, and in the event the situation worsens, Oklahoma has a statewide plan in place that is operational.
I've been asking folks if they're worried about COVID-19.
What's your name?
I'm Barbara.
Barbara, and you, sir?
Bill.
Bill told me he really hasn't worried that much about it.
Some, not real much. I mean, if it's going to happen, there ain't a lot I can do about it. I just try to keep low profile.
Would you alter your lifestyle in any major way if cases started coming around here?
I just stay at home. I mean, I'm retired, so I don't have to go if I don't want to.
And Barbara, well, her plan runs along the same lines.
I'd keep my butt at home.
Just stay home?
Yep, sure would. Got plenty to do.
Okay. Got to go to the store at some point.
Not at this point.
I didn't really understand at first, but as Bill kindly explained, they've had long experience with preparedness.
So you're prepared for this?
Yes.
Yeah, we raise our own cattle. We got our own chickens. I mean, so our freezer's full of beef and stuff. I mean, so if we don't want to go, we don't go.
I understand your answer. So when you say we're just going to stay home, you're really set up to
yes.
do that.
Yeah. Yes.
So they have a plan, but Barbara still worries. I mean, they have family, too, and she hopes folks are paying attention.
A lot of people are not taking it as serious as they should. You know, they're like, well, when the election's over, it'll all go away and all this other stuff. This stuff is killing people.
It is.
That don't just go away.
And it is. But as the governor pointed out, 11 deaths so far in the U.S. from COVID-19, about 18,000 in recent months from the flu. Good news, we can fight back against all these viruses.
Most important thing you can do is be vigilant in washing your hands, staying home from work or public gatherings if you are running a fever, and avoid close contact with sick individuals.
For Barbara, it all basically comes down to common sense.
I think people will eventually get a brain and start using it and start staying in if they're feeling bad or under the weather or something, but it'll eventually click.
Dan Potter and Rick Corey joined in the studio by Dr. Bruce Dart, the executive director of the Tulsa County Health Department, and Kelly Van Buskirk, who is the THD's epidemiology and emergency preparedness director. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks great us. To be here.
Yeah, thank you. This is obviously, it's dominated a lot of the talk and a lot of this show for the last week. It's been around since December that we've been talking about it, but there is something over the last, I don't know, week, 2 weeks maybe, that's really accelerated this. What is it in your mind that has everybody sitting up and paying attention right now?
Well, I think when you hear about viruses or diseases that are overseas, not in this country, it's people are aware, but they're not afraid because it's not here. Well, now we know in this country it's here. It's not in Oklahoma yet.
Right.
But once it hits your shores, then you become a little more aware and a little more vigilant. And there's always a concern at that point, and it ramps up as days go by.
I want to break this down into four different sections over the next hour. And in this first section, really take a look at what is a coronavirus overall and how this one coronavirus is different. We had somebody earlier this week send us an open mic saying, hey, look, I've been looking at this Lysol, and it says right on here, it protects against human coronavirus. So that it's not new. No, coronaviruses aren't new, right? This one is, though.
Absolutely. And like many viruses that we deal with, the viruses exist. Coronavirus is one of those viruses that can cause the common cold, that and rhinovirus. But these viruses genetically shift so that their DNA becomes different, and how they impact the human population then changes. So it's new. It didn't exist before. And when it's new, there's no immunity anywhere in the world to it. So that's and that's when we as public health officials start to really get concerned about the impact on our human population once it starts circulating.
Yeah, no immunity, Kelly, and a lot of mystery about what it's going to do next.
Correct. Because it's a new virus and it hasn't yet affected the population, I think that's where some of the concern comes in. With it being, as Bruce mentioned, there are multitude of coronaviruses out there. But the reason why it's a novel coronavirus is it's a new one that we have not seen yet.
And nobody has immunity to, and we don't know what the arc of it is. We'll talk a little bit later about, you know, what you think as far as if it's seasonal or if it's something that's going to keep growing. But before we get there, we know the epicenter is Wuhan in Hubei province, China. Is there anything known more about how this new virus appeared, where it came from? You know, how are viruses born, for lack of a better word?
You know, many times what we see and what the pattern across history has been is that these are viruses that start in animals and are animal-specific. And then through close contact and constant contact and interaction, these viruses mutate and they jump from animals to human. And then we have the potential for human-to-human transmission is where we're at now. But that's generally there's a lot of hosts, we call them. In this case, we believe it was the wet animal market in Wuhan and the constant interaction between these animals and the close contact with humans. And they genetically shift and humans eventually become infected as well.
What about how it's transmitted? We have so many questions about, can I get it off a counter? Can I get it off of a coffee cup? We were kind of joking before our company did away with styrofoam cups a long time ago. I wondered if they'd bring them back to have something that you couldn't, you know, mistakenly not wash in time. So what can you catch it from?
Well, there's been some pretty good studies that shows, yes, it can survive on surfaces, but its survivability on surfaces isn't very long. So you could, but it's a lot harder. Generally, it's spread through what we call respiratory droplets or secretions, which people cough and sneeze and it becomes airborne. And you breathe it in. But when it becomes airborne, it lands on the surface, which is why we're constantly telling you to wash your hands, which I'll do after I patted your table here so much this morning.
Hey, you're in a radio station. That's always a good idea. Yeah,
but that's really why we're telling people that washing your hands is so critical because you pick them up. Or you could touch your eyes and your nose and then touch something infect either a surface or another person. So
that habit of touching your face, we noted just before you guys got here, is that I just did it. I just touched my nose. How many times an hour? Is it 30, something like that, that the average human being touches their face?
At least. If you're someone like me, it's probably more. Yeah. So it's something that we have to be cognizant of.
Okay, Kelly, you're the epidemiology and emergency preparedness director. How do you break yourself of that habit?
I don't know that you can. I think it's just a normal human nature to touch your face. I just have an awareness. Again, I think to protect yourself, it's not, we say don't touch your face, but because you do it, just make sure you're washing your hands and washing the surfaces.
Add that behavior instead of trying to modify the
correct.
I think you had the best idea. Handle jalapenos constantly, and then you just won't touch your face.
I saw the meme floating around. Yes, in fact, my ex-wife, if you don't want to sing the happy birthday song, just pretend like you got done chopping jalapenos and you have to take your contacts out. That'll make you wash your hands. Who is most susceptible, Dr. Dart?
You know, right now we're seeing that the elderly, people with underlying health conditions, people with immune compromised health conditions, people with heart and lung problems. So that's really been our first concern. And the way the virus is playing out, that's the demographic who's right now most at risk.
Isn't it interesting that, and Kelly, I was going to ask you about this, it seems like kids, we're hearing, are actually been pretty resistant. Is there a reason we can track that too?
I think that it's because they're the most healthy in our population. And so, you know, they're resilient. They have a good health system, the good respiratory system. And as Dr. Dart mentioned, it's our underlying health condition. So when you have the respiratory illness and you have the shortness of breath and the cough, that is really puts a lot of pressure on your heart and your lungs. And so children normally don't have those underlying health issues. And so those individuals that do have the underlying health issues, those are the ones that are going to be most at risk.
But there's nothing like a healthy, active, running around child to carry that virus somewhere else, right?
Correct. Just because they're healthy doesn't mean that they won't get it. And we all know, we joke about it, that kids carry a lot of germs, and they are ones that don't always wash their hands as often. So if they do have some symptoms and they are touching stuff, or, you know, they're, we joke that they're carriers of germs. So again, they can easily spread it just like the rest of the population.
Do you think this is seasonal, or do you think this is something that'll build over the summer, or might we see it go away now and return even stronger in the fall, Dr. Dart?
You know, in all honesty, we're really waiting to see. I mean, we definitely hope that's the way it plays out. We're hoping as the temperatures warm up, the virus penetration in the community goes down like influenza does. But frankly, at this juncture, we just don't know.
And that's another one of the variables that people need to take into account here is that we don't know.
Exactly.
Are there examples of other viruses that continue to thrive during hot weather months?
Well, if you recall, H1N1, which was our last pandemic flu, actually started in April of 2009, about the time that the normal flu season is ending, which really surprised us all. So these things do happen. We're hoping that coronavirus follows the influenza flu path, but we'll probably know more in May.
I want you both to get graphic with me here, as graphic as you think you need to get. If you read a book like The Hot Zone or The Coming Plague, and you read the description of what a filovirus like Ebola or Marburg does to a body, it essentially breaks down the internal organs and you bleed out. That's how you die. What does this virus do on a cellular level to the human body?
You know, the bottom line is that it's got receptors that adhere to your bronchial passages. If your immune system isn't as healthy, it goes deeper into your lungs. Ultimately, it can cause diseases like
pneumonia.
Which a lot of healthy people will get sick, but they'll recover. But when it's so deep in your lungs, and pneumonia does result, the elderly and those with those other health conditions just can't recover. It overwhelms the body and the immune system, and immune system basically turns on itself.
Dr. Bruce Dart is the executive director of the Tulsa Health Department. He's joined by Kelly Van Buskirk, who is the director of epidemiology and emergency preparedness. We're talking coronavirus and COVID-19.
Guys, the coronavirus is being blown out of proportion. It's no more dangerous than the flu. The flu killed 4,800 people last year.
People, the flu kills hundreds of thousands of people per year, and we have a vaccination for it.
People, take a chill pill. It's not as bad as the flu. Good Lord, we're gonna survive.
Honestly, I think this is gonna be like the flu when flu season happens. When everything heats back up, the flu goes away, so will the coronavirus. So people just need to weather through it for a couple more months. When summer hits, all this is going to be gone, and we won't have to worry about it.
Dr. Bruce Dart, Tulsa Department, is a health department, and their chief epidemiologist, well, actually, director of epidemiology and emergency preparedness. Get it right, Dan. Kelly Van Buskirk is here. I love the number of open mics that are starting with people.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Right? Yeah, I noticed that.
And B, did you hear the number of different flu case numbers there? And I know it's probably looking at state versus nation versus globe versus deaths versus cases. All right, you guys, you heard it. How do you respond when people say this is being blown out of proportion? Is it?
You know, I love when people add context to this conversation. And the bottom line is that we don't know how bad it's going to be. We don't know who ultimately it's going to affect. We know that people are dying a certain demographic. So while it's not circulating widely in Oklahoma now, we do know eventually it's going to be here. So what we're trying to do is to really educate people so they're aware and they're informed so they know what to do when it does come here. Because frankly, we don't know how it's going to be until it actually reaches Oklahoma. Now, it's a brand new virus. It doesn't exist anywhere else. And we're still learning how it's going to play out and how it's going to affect people. So I love that people are calm and as well as they should be. Just be aware and be informed and stay tuned to all the information that guys like you are giving them. And act appropriately.
Kelly, it's your job to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Do you think that we're overhyping this in the media, locally, nationally?
I don't know that I would say overhyping is the correct terminology. I do think that raising awareness to it is a really good thing, but I do think that having a conversation about staying calm and knowing what to do to protect yourself is very important. And those are the main messages I think that we need to get out there is, you know, help yourself, and by helping yourself, you're helping others. If you are symptomatic, stay home. Don't expose others to it. Again, a lot of people bring this up as a comparison to influenza. That's right. We have seen over 18,000 deaths of influenza here in the U.S. We've had over 50 deaths of influenza in Oklahoma. So I think, and we don't have any cases here of coronavirus. We don't have any deaths. So I do think, I think that it is a good message for individuals to be aware, know what to do, but stay calm.
But before we leave that, to their point, or to the point that's probably most important, is mortality rate from the two. And I'd seen that it had changed a little bit. Where are we right about now between the two?
Well, for influenza in this country, remember, it's a big N. It's a big number that we can compare. So we're talking about a 0.5% mortality rate. With coronavirus right now, it's about 3.4%, which is why we're a little concerned, because it's a huge difference in rates. But with coronavirus as well, I mean, let's just be honest. We have cases who are mild or asymptomatic. They're probably not counted in that number.
Mm-hmm. And just quickly, so, is that, I think, 3.4 mortality rate, is that higher or lower than the Spanish flu was?
You know,
the Spanish flu being the epidemic at the turn of last century that killed, 100 million people worldwide.
So it's actually a little lower, of course. But once again, with the Spanish flu, we also had that N number, that total number. We don't have this yet. So it's not an apples to apples, I think,
what you're saying is that the mortality rate could go up from this.
It could go up or it could go down. We're hoping that it goes down, but definitely when it really becomes widespread throughout this country, we'll have this will be a much different conversation.
Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. It's an 8 a.m. in-depth hour as we talk about coronavirus, the disease it causes, COVID-19, and our preparedness locally for it. Here's KRMG Managing Editor Rick Corey.
The first thing to know is Tulsa Public Schools already has plans in place to handle things like this.
It's really written for like a pandemic flu kind of a thing, which has tremendous overlap into this particular virus. We have reviewed that plan. We continue to actively work with the Tulsa City County Health Department, Tulsa Area Emergency Management Agency, and the Oklahoma State Department of Health and the Oklahoma State Department of Education. So there are a lot of collaboration going on to make sure that we are all coordinated, and including with the districts in our area.
So from that guidebook, in this particular case, what actions are being taken?
Making sure custodians that our practices are super tight in the cleaning of surfaces, because that's a really significant issue with this virus. So keeping surfaces clean and just making sure that we have all those practices in place. We also have a tool that's like a fumigation system. We're looking into purchasing additional of those machines in the event that we need those. In the event there is an outbreak or this grows, and in whether or not we need to consider how we manage our school system if we have to close schools. And so what does that mean for employees? What it mean for learning? How would all of that work?
So we ask if that's even a possibility.
We certainly have enough devices, and we have physical tools in terms of computers and Chromebooks and software programs and things like that. What I think is more of a challenge is how many students have that level of experience with it. And an even bigger challenge for us in Tulsa is connectivity. So whether or not our students have internet access at home. And so those are things that we're looking into right now.
Bottom line, there's a plan in place. Precautions are already being taken. And where we go from here depends on the spread of the virus.
Dan Potter and Rick Corey on KRMG's In-Depth Hour discussing the coronavirus. You can hear the entire program by visiting KRMG.com and choosing the KRMG Morning Show from the drop-down menu. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.